T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
All right. Blizzard of 22 on the way. What, 1 to 3 inches, right? Holy cow.
Oh, no, we're hearing more than that.
Wait, what? More than 1 to 3 inches?
Dave is saying 3 to 4.
Dave Murray's saying 3 to 4?
Yep.
And we have him on in the next hour.
Yes.
Yeah. That's there. 5:07. Well, Snowmageddon's coming. Get your bread.
I did, actually. I went to the Walmart this morning in Fenton, and I grabbed everything. And I was surprised. I found everything that I needed, which is a little bit of a shocker.
That is.
So we're going to get an update, though, Fred, in the next hour from Mr. Murray, right?
Right, right.
Look, I hope he's right, because I thought I saw an update this morning that said, like, 1 to 2, and that they were backing off. But I might have been just looking at Friday. When is it supposed to start? Does anyone know? Dave's going to tell
After
us.
After midnight, right?
I think they're saying right around midnight.
Okay. Well, I like that on a Friday night around midnight
when
we don't have to come to work tomorrow.
And you wake up with
Abby has to be here.
Yeah,
that's right. We're not really considering Abby because you have to be here like really early, right?
4:30 in the morning.
But it'll be okay. There's no one on the roads at that time.
And hopefully it's just snow.
It's like wet snow.
Right. Snow is not the end of the world.
It'd be different if it was going to be in the 20s. I think we're all going to survive. Dan Buff is coming up a little later this hour. Hey, Jane, I got something, a little nugget. Did you ever watch Justified?
Yes.
They're bringing it back.
Timothy Oliphant.
With Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
I have some details coming up.
I like details on him.
I like Timothy Oliphant. He's a funny guy. He is.
It's way beyond funny.
Yeah, he's a good. You know what? I can see why women would like him. There are certain actors and people I say, what do you see? Like Pete Davidson comes to mind. Abby, can you explain Pete Davidson?
To me, too.
No, I can't.
Okay,
personally.
Good.
So now we know Abby's normal.
I like Timothy Oliphant. Anyway, we have Buffa and Frank Cusimano. Jane's going to handle Sue's news in just a couple of minutes, but I wanted to share this because I thought this was funny. And I think that at least 3 out of the 4 of us, maybe even Abby after tomorrow morning, can agree that this is something we want to return to in the future. So the story is on the BBC.com, and it starts this way. This was on my birthday in 1699, so it's significant. It says it was around 2300 on April 13th, 1699. They say 13 April 1699. In a small village in the north of England, 9-year-old Jane Routh blinked her eyes open and squinted out into the moody evening shadows. She and her mother had just awoken from a short sleep. Mrs. Routh got up and went over to the fireside of their modest home, where she began smoking a pipe. Just then, 2 men appeared by the window. They called out and instructed her to get ready to go with them. As Jane explained to a courtroom, her mother had evidently been expecting the visitors. She went with them freely, but first whispered to her daughter, "Lie still. She'll come again in the morning." Perhaps Mrs. Routh had some nocturnal task to complete, or maybe she was in trouble and knew that leaving the house was a risk. Either way, Jane's mother did not get to keep her promise. She never returned home. That night, Mrs. Routh was murdered, and her body was discovered in the following days, and the crime was never solved. But the reason that that story is important is that there was a guy by the name of Roger Eckerch, who was a historian. And then 300 years later, in the 1990s, he started going through some of the public records, and he was looking at the testimony from Jane about all this, and something was odd. So he was researching a book about history of nighttime, and at the time, he's looking through records that are about this era, the early Middle Ages, the Industrial Revolution, and he says he was dreading writing the chapter on sleep, thinking it was not only a universal necessity, but a biological constant. And it wasn't, because what happened back then, and he kind of goes into detail, and I'm not sure where the end game is with this, but what we used to do back then, I guess what a lot of people used to do, they had two sleeps. They would sleep during the day and during the night. It was a little bit more than just a nap as well. So the question in this story on the BBC, and I like this question, the forgotten medieval habits of two sleeps, because apparently a lot of us humans, I don't think that we're doing that much in this country at that point, were sleeping twice. And then they go into, like, Brazil, 1555. There was a colonial account of some of the people in one tribe that would eat dinner after their first sleep, while another from 19th century Oman explained that the local people would retire for their first sleep before 2200 hours. So there was a lot of different sleep back then, and I think this is a very long article. I don't know exactly if they've narrowed it down to when things changed, but they had periods of wakefulness that followed what was known as the watch, and that was a window in which to get things done. The records describe how people just did about everything and anything after they awakened from their first sleep. So I thought that was fascinating. I'd never really heard about that before. Had anyone else?
Never.
Multiple. You had.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible napper.
I wonder if it was like 4 hours each or 8 hours each.
Well, he wrote a book about it. You know, maybe we should get At Day's Close, A History of Nighttime. I'm going to send that to you. You know what? It might be fun to get him on. He can tell us all these things, Fred. I will copy.
I think we need to know.
How did you know that, Abby?
I actually tried to do it in college. I had a lot of early morning shifts on the weekends, so I would stay up until like 4 hours until I had to get up. And so I'd sleep 4 hours, I'd go to work, and then I'd come home, and then I'd sleep 4 hours. That way I could stay up later with my friends and stuff.
How'd it work?
Not great.
Wow, yeah. That seems difficult.
Well, it's not as difficult at her age as it is at our age.
Cripples me. That
because
would cripple me.
When I was in my 20s, I was doing stuff. Well, first of all, I'm drinking and doing a lot of drugs, and then I'm working a late night shift. So I would do an overnight radio shift till about 5 a.m. And then I would come back just because I wanted to work. I'd do a midday shift from like 10 a.m. to 2. I'm not even quite sure I was sober at 10 a.m. by the time if I was working the night before, I would have been. But you did anything and everything, and you just slept when you could.
Right.
Absolutely. All right, let's do Jane's news this afternoon.
Right. These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's news. Brought to you by Sue.
Except not today.
Not today. And I mean, Sue and us, me and Sue not being together is bad. I mean, you know,
she'll be back
other.
Next week.
She'll be back. Okay. So I don't know if I can do it as well as Sue, but I'm trying. Okay. So first of all, did you hear about the former Miss USA, Olivia Culpo? And I'm not sure I'm saying her name right. Anyway, she got...
No. I can say definitively no.
No. Okay. Well, she's the former Miss USA, and she dates a current Carolina Panther, Christian McCaffrey. Anyway, they're going to Cabo San Lucas, and American Airlines says you're not getting on that plane unless you put on a different shirt.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, what was the shirt?
Well, okay, so she had on, and look, I mean, you know, I go down to where my daughter goes to school at University in Alabama, and they're half naked. I mean, you know, I'm like, so, I mean, I have a very low standard now, but she had on biker shorts, which
you,
are like...
By the way, do you let your daughter wear that stuff?
I mean, I have to really, I hope styles change by the time Alexa gets older, because it's hard to look at. I mean, they are barely clothed.
In fairness, I'm so old, I might not be around when that happens, but
that's
sure.
Right, you'll be blinder. Yes.
Or not even cognitive, I'll be like Joe Biden.
Right, oh, please. And so, but anyway, so she had on biker shorts, and then she had on sort of, you know, like you have the... I don't know, what do you call them, like the sports bra kind of thing. But then she had a cover-up on. It wasn't like she was just... So she had her stomach sticking out a little bit, but I mean...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Look, it's like not even close to anything I've seen that would like be violating. Yeah, so they said, no, you're not getting on the flight. So
wait, is there a picture of this and what she was wearing?
Yeah.
I can judge
because,
this.
Because she put it on her Instagram.
Can I judge this?
Yes.
What's her
she
name?
She put it on her Instagram of how to get kicked off of a, you know, it's the beginning kit on how to get kicked off an American Airlines flight. So, you know, yeah, so she had to put on her boyfriend's sweatshirt in order to get on the flight.
I'm going in here,
she's beautiful.
Jane. I'm going in.
Of course. She should wear these outfits. If I had her body, I'd be wearing her outfits. I mean,
I'm actually having trouble finding the
I will get you the actual outfit is, I mean,
she was told to put a blouse on.
Yeah, I'm going to get it for you. But it was not inappropriate, people. It really wasn't. So anyway, I don't understand. So they instead of being weirdos, they were making fun of it, which I appreciate. That's a good way to deal with it, is to make fun of American Airlines.
Right. I'd say, oh yeah, look, there's,
yeah,
she's like wearing a Lululemon thing.
Yes.
And a sweatshirt.
Well, the sweatshirt, she put the sweatshirt on. She had on, like, you know, kind of a midriff kind of sports bra kind of thing. But I mean, they walk around campus. You go to any campus and the girls are walking around with that on. I mean, so anyway.
Yeah, I've seen far worse than that.
Yes.
But, you know, what I was going to say is you had me at American Airlines.
Well, I mean, apparently.
United, American, anything outside of Southwest, I don't want to be on those planes.
I mean, apparently.
Ever again.
I mean, so so that poor girl. But they did eventually get to Cabo because she gave in to the man and she put on a sweatshirt. So, you know, I think we have things to worry about, and that's not one of them. Okay. This falls under the category of anger management.
That might be up my alley.
This is wow. So a Tennessee state rep, 45 years old, his name is Jeremy Faison, I think that's how you say it, had to be ejected from the stands at a high school basketball game in Johnson City on January 4th after he became angry at a referee and tried to pants him. Literally pulled down his pants. I mean, so that's messed up. So, but, you know, there is sort of a happy ending, because the guy clearly figured out that he was in the wrong and tweeted out, "Totally lost my junk and got booted from the gym. I hope to be able to find the ref and ask for forgiveness. I was bad wrong."
He says, "I'm bad wrong." You can hear it with the Tennessee accent.
Yeah,
right?
"I was bad wrong." So, so the advice is now referees wear a belt.
Oh my God. He says, "I was wanting him to fight me. Totally lost my junk, got booted from the gym."
Yeah.
He says, "I've never really lost my temper for all to see, but I did tonight. It was completely stupid of me." Ooh. Yeah, that's
not
good,
to right? pant someone. Like, who does that? Dude, and he's an elected official. I mean, can we just go back to that part?
Okay, but here again, Jane, you've left me wanting more, because I want to see the video of this guy going on the court, and I can't find it.
Trying to pull the referee's pants down.
Right.
I mean, I haven't seen that.
Well,
since...
it's something different. I'll have to
yeah.
give it. Okay, yeah. here we
I
go.
I think I'm doing pretty good.
God, I love Google. All I did was Tennessee lawmaker pants, and it comes right off.
Sure.
Here it is.
Of course
I'm watching
it
from the NBC affiliate in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
They have it. Okay, they're like, they have the little red circle around him in the crowd, and here he comes onto the court.
Oh, no. It's that bad.
And he's yelling at, okay, so he's yelling, and then he tries to pull the court. Yeah, so he's basically just yelling at him from the sidelines. He reaches down to the referee's pants, and he tries to pull it down.
That's
a very interesting reaction.
Who does that in anger?
You'd have to think he's done that before, right?
Right? Like, you don't come out of the box saying, "I'm going to pants somebody in public."
Wow.
I mean, too many frat parties? Yeah. I don't know. So, okay, now... we have a poor woman who is facing felony charges for forgetting to return Sabrina the Teenage Witch VHS tape 20 years ago.
Felony
charges. So she's bumming. I mean, so she's, you know, going through life. And, I mean, this is 20 years ago. And she went to go change her driver's license. And they said, you know, you have a problem in Oklahoma. And she's like, "What?" You know. So they found out that she hadn't returned the tape, and they had taken it to the authorities. And so, you know, the district attorney was kind of cool about it and said, "Okay, well, we're going to dismiss the charges." She still needs to go to court and have the felony removed from her record. I'm not joking. And she said this is what's really bizarre. She said, this all makes a lot of sense. She said, you know, there were a couple of jobs that I had applied for.
Oh.
And yeah. And she's like, I, you know, couldn't believe I couldn't get them. And I mean, there were some suspicious things. And she said, oh my gosh, the light bulb went on. They did a background check on me and found out that there was like an outstanding felony warrant out for her. And so she couldn't get hired. And so run a background check on yourself.
Because it's not a bad idea.
You know what? I mean, who of us has not returned a Blockbuster videotape?
I'm pretty sure that I have from either the Parkway West Junior or Parkway West Senior Library a book on the Gilded Age that somehow I never returned to the library. Why I wanted to keep that book, I have no idea.
But that's why you're working here.
That's probably why, exactly.
So I thought that one was kind of, so just, you know, periodically run a background check on yourself.
You have one more?
Yeah. Did you know that goldfish are surprisingly good drivers?
I did not know that, Jane.
No.
I know. And so there was actually a scientific experiment done with goldfish, okay? And they wanted to, because people think they're dumb, but evidently they're not dumb. So they made...
The one that was floating in the tank in my home a couple of days ago, that one wasn't too sharp. I don't think he was driving.
I had Barkley and Bobby Plager, and they swam down my toilet for a funeral. but it was sad. But anyway, so they built this little vehicle for the fish, okay? And the fish, surprisingly, was able to figure out how to maneuver the car. And they're like, okay, well, the fish is... And they're in their little surroundings. And the fish, they're like, okay, the fish has memorized his route, right? So let's mess with the fish. Sure enough, they change the route, they move obstacles, and the fish was able, the goldfish were able to maneuver around. They didn't really need a map.
When you say a car, can you describe
said
car in the tank?
No, it's called an FOV, which is a fish operated vehicle.
Of course,
I'm not even joking.
Duh. Who didn't know that?
Right. This has been published in scientific journals. And so, I mean, yeah. So anyway, they're actually pretty expert drivers. And it's not just fish. They performed a similar experiment on rats, and they had a ratmobile. And sure enough, the most important thing they found out of the study with rats was that it relaxed them. So, you know, clearly, you know, rats like a leisurely Sunday drive just like humans do.
That is fascinating. Actually, I lied. So, you have one more? You can do one more.
I can do one more?
Yeah.
Okay. This, you know, I don't know if anyone else ever sensed this, but everywhere you go now, you smell people smoking pot. I don't have no problem. I don't care about pot. I cannot stand the smell. I mean, the smell really bothers me. I don't know why. Well, I found an article that tells me why now. Why does cannabis smell skunky? It does, okay?
Oh, now, of course it does.
It's disgusting. I'm like, edibles. Do edibles, people. But anyway, there is their same... They did a study on it. I love when they study things. I don't know that these are necessary things, but they're studying them. And there's some similar sulfurous origins in both. There actually is a scientific reason that they smell similar. So when people who are smoking pot smell like skunks, like, it's not really a false allegation.
No. There are similarities, yes. And that's why it's called skunky. But also, there. What else? Like, I'm thinking back to... what's the beer I'm thinking about? Maybe Grolsch or something like that, Lohenbräu, that had a bit of a skunky
smell
to it as well.
But there is it's different sulfur. I can't go into all the scientific because I can't.
Is it the same thing with catalytic converters? That's a little different.
I don't know.
Sulfury,
yeah,
though.
They did not cite that in here, but I felt vindicated. I felt vindicated that when I, you know, because I mean, you could be like standing on a street corner, especially in Vegas.
Oh, you see, it's everywhere.
And I mean, you're like, whoa. And again, I have no problem. Go get high.
I smell it in our parking lot all the time.
Yeah.
I'm here at Odyssey St.
So
Louis.
That's
hey,
my
good
news.
Job with Jane's news today. Okay. Very good, Jane Duker. Abby, thank you for all the participation. We have Mr. Buffa.
She learned things.
Coming up. Well, we learned things from her as well. Buffa coming up. Talk about a few movies, including the new Scream film, Cusimano, at the end of the hour. Friday afternoon, 97.1 FM Talk. Still plenty to come. Frank Cusimano, he's got some cool stuff coming on this weekend on Sports Plus. We'll talk about it. I think he sat down with Gary Finkel. You see the coach gets into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That was nice. I will not talk Mizzou basketball with him, so we'll just skip over that. Also, there was something that went a little viral yesterday. I tweeted it out. I saw Scott Jennings, my friend in Louisville. It was a guy who is a photojournalist with KCAL-TV in Los Angeles. John Schreiber is his name. Did you see this, Jane? It was the train robberies, and he was walking by where these trains have been ripped off, and there's all kinds of things out there. Well, it turns out he's a Mizzou guy, and he's from St. Louis. So John's going to join us in the next hour. We'll also get an update from Dave Murray. Right now, KSDK's Dan Buffo with some entertainment, some movie stuff. How are you, Dan?
Doing well. How's everybody doing before we get a whopping 2 inches of snow?
Snowmageddon. Yeah.
We're doing okay. Let me start here with something a little different because I love this. I think this is pretty awesome. And you can watch the whole 25 minutes if you want on Instagram. But, of course, Bob Saget died earlier this week. And John Mayer and Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross is a comedian. John Mayer, of course, musician, real tight with Bob Saget. So Bob Saget was in Florida when he passed away. His car was at LAX. So Bob Ross and John Mayer went to get his car, and they recorded this when they were driving in the car and taking it back.
Well, we're back. We're on the 405. Remembering Bob Saget, a king in the comedy world, Bobby Daddy, our brother, our big brother. John and I went to pick up his car at LAX.
A little hard to hear here.
I think it's a good opportunity to say a few things.
What do you want to say without crying? Because I don't want to. If we crash, this is really good. Come on.
This is John Mayer here.
Being on this earth who could give that much love individually and completely to that many people in a way that made each person feel like he was a main character in their life,
yeah,
and they were a main character in his life.
So it's not the greatest audio, but it is.
That's sweet. You can hear it a little bit better. Did you just cut me off?
No, my iPad was turning the mic off for some reason. Sorry about that. What I was saying is it's really good 25 minutes if you want to watch the post. It's on John Mayer's Instagram page. Dan, I don't know if you saw that, but Bob Saget, you know, I love the Aristocrats. If you can put up with the salty language and vulgarity, the Aristocrats is a great documentary. It really is.
He was, yeah, and then I think I talked about it last week, but yeah, he could do both kind of personas. He could do the great dad, and he can kind of do the raunchy, older kind of comedian kind of personality. He did both of those really well, and a lot of people can't do that. They can only do the one, so a big loss. And yeah, who would have think that if anybody showed to pick up Bob Saget's car, it's John Mayer.
Right.
How weird is that? Yeah. All right, let's talk movies here. We don't want to run out of time. Scream 5.
I tried running too. It doesn't work. It always follows.
All due respect, that's your life, not mine.
I'm not so sure about that.
What do you want from me, lady?
Hey, watch your tone, new girl. You know how they always say it goes back to the original? Here's the original.
I want your help. Because you're wrong, this is your life now, which means that whoever this is going to keep coming for you.
So?
So I want you to help us kill him. You want me to help you and the host of a morning show commit murder?
Correct. Yeah.
One of the things I liked about the first two movies, and I don't believe I've ever seen 3 or 4, is there was a lot of fun factor and campiness. And just from that clip, you can hear some of that coming back. Is this worth seeing, Dan Buffa?
It is very much worth seeing. It is the best Scream film since the first one.
Wow.
I think it's just the fact that they give you all the gore and they give you all that tongue-in-cheek campy humor. They don't stop either. It doesn't get serious. It's always feeling, even if it's very gory. I mean, this is a true slasher film. It's always kind of like a scene away from a big laugh or two. And David Arquette is great. He's back as Dewey. You have Courtney Cox and Nev Campbell, who both still look gorgeous and both can throw a punch and shoot a gun and get into the action. Of course, you have the young cast. And I want to give a shout out to one cast member for flexing his biceps and saying, oh yeah, I'll give them Hobbs and Shaw here. I mean that right there just gets a good, you know, a good pat in the back.
I'm so glad
for me,
to hear good positive, because I think people need maybe a fun movie like this. And will it draw? I mean, here's a question, because this was an immensely popular movie with younger people back in the day. Do you have to see the other movies? Probably
no.
Not.
I would almost think this is kind of like if you reloaded the original and brought some new people in. And keep all the original cast, but it still has the same feel. I think Wes Craven would not roll in his grave. He'd probably just pump his fist through the top of the, you know, of the coffin instead, just because they got the feel of the original just right.
That's awesome. All right. Well, recommendation. That one is in theaters only this weekend, Dan?
Yes, in theaters only.
Okay. Let's talk about, I was a big Ray Donovan fan for many seasons. I kind of got away from it in the last two seasons, but now they have a movie.
Hello.
I tell you something I did.
Ray?
Something bad.
That's me. This was a cool character. It's a very popular Showtime show. And what they do here, just do a feature film with the same characters. Again, I guess the question would be, do you have to be caught up on the series to watch the movie, Dan?
I would think you have to at least, like yourself, have watched four or five of the seven seasons. Do I think you have to watch all seven? In a way, yes, because the film picks up right after the ending of the series. And you can't really review this movie without saying that Showtime kind of cut this show off at the knees kind of abruptly. And at the end of the TV run, the series, the show, it was kind of anticlimactic. You had, you know, Ray out in the forest doing something, and they canceled it. And so they're kind of giving it its due with this movie. And I can say that it's a very compelling and a very satisfying finale that gives Ray Donovan fans real closure. I think it gives them what Showtime took away 2 years ago. And you know, here you are 2 years later, this hour and 40-minute movie, very tightly packed. It feels and acts like a 70s or 80s thriller. There's no CGI. You know, when people get hit by a car, yes, that's Liev Schreiber getting hit by a car. You know, it's old school in that vibe. And that's why I liked about the show, Mark, is that it was simple. You had this fixer from Boston who takes care of problems. Let's just say if Michael Clayton can throw a punch,
oh, wow,
it would be Ray Donovan. So,
okay. All right.
And John Voight won Emmys for it. And
yeah,
you have Dash Mihok. You have Eddie Marsan. I mean, Paula Malcolmson, Karis Dorsey, all of them come back for this movie. And Mark, you know, you probably want to get caught up because this goes into the past, into when Ray was a teenager.
It's just so hard. You know, the thing is, if I had to guess, I think I have five, six, and seven to watch, like three seasons. So, and
oh,
I was such a big
fan.
I thought it was starting to lose its edge a little
bit.
Yeah, and
I kind of slipped off, so
right.
I have to go back. Now, is it, what about, I mean, I don't know if you watched Dexter.
I did,
and yeah. I finished the season, and I thought that
No,
was
I haven't watched the new Dexter.
Oh,
though.
No, the new blood. You got to
yeah.
watch
Yeah, I haven't
it.
Watched the new Dexter either.
Oh, no, you should. And it'll take you an episode or two to get into it, but then it becomes Dexter again. And
oh, that's
and
good.
I think this is a one deal. I don't think this is like they're intending that Dexter goes
okay.
on and on.
You don't think that until they start writing checks when they see the ratings. So you always have to say,
that's
because what Dan, you know, even what Dan said about Scream, my guess is they're going to, if this does well at the box office,
they'll go
they're
again.
Find a way to.
But I mean,
oh, sure.
But I recommend Dexter. I do. New Blood. I would see it. And I know there's a lot of people were complaining about endings and whatnot. I thought it was great. And so I was quite satisfied.
Dan, let's talk about one more movie here for the family.
Nathan!
You're human now. It's totally safe.
It's glorious. It's wondrous. It's burning my eyes!
Oh. Hotel Transylvania on Amazon. I think it's on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean...
Right?
Yeah. So on Amazon, and I think that was kind of a big studio transfer to Amazon. But this is the first one without Mr. Sandler, Mr. Reardon. There's no Adam Sandler in this Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, you know, I mean, for me, I think it's kind of good and it's bad. I mean, it's a digestible film. I think by now you're thinking, are they going to keep making these like Ted's? Like, are they just going to keep going and going? And, you know, and just go on. And I think without Sandler, it feels a little fresh, but at the same time, you kind of want him around sometimes. So it's not great. It's not bad. But I think if you have to take the kids somewhere or even put a movie on at home for to kill some time, this is not a bad option.
Good. Good to hear. Jane, you came up with a couple of shows that were
on Peacock.
UK comedies or dramas.
Dramas.
Dan, I don't know if these are on your radar, but she was telling me about this a little earlier this afternoon, so we wanted to toss them out.
Have you seen Vigil? It's a Peacock original, and it's sort of a British crime drama on a submarine, an English sub.
I have heard about it, but I don't have Peacock.
I
all these streaming things.
Yes, I highly recommend it. And then there is another one on Netflix called Stay Close. And
I have watched a little bit of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that one. But Vigil, phenomenal. I highly recommend that on Peacock for anyone who has
it.
Yeah, it's just called Vigil, and it's a crime drama on a submarine.
Oh, awesome. Two more things I want to toss in here, and they're reboots as well. I don't know if you saw this, but Disney and Tim Allen and Jack Bertrand, who is the creator of Last Man Standing, I really liked that show until it kind of tailed off in the last couple of seasons as well. But they're bringing back The Santa Claus. It's going to be a Disney Plus limited series. He's going to reprise his role as Scott Calvin from those big movies a long time ago. I like those movies quite a bit. They don't quite hold up with the technology when you watch them these days, especially on a big screen, but I did like Tim Allen's character in that. And then the other thing, because I was a huge fan of Timothy Oliphant and Justified.
Yeah.
Nick Searcy was in that. It's coming back as well. Let's see
They're
if I can
coming
find
back.
This out.
That is so great. That is so great that that's going to happen.
This is Justified City Primeval has been greenlit at FX. Timothy Oliphant reprising his role as U.S. Marshal Raylan Givens for the limited. So that's a limited series as well. I love it.
Yeah. A little Elmore Leonard action.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm glad that they're bringing it back with Oliphant and all the creators and the producers. And a note about Santa Claus, I think any time the movie was great was when they kind of let Tim Allen be Tim Allen. I think when he gets to go on his famous, like, comic little, you know, rants. But you're right, though, some of the special effects didn't play. Well, hopefully they update that with this 2022 Disney Plus model.
My guess is they will. Dan Buffa, you have a great weekend. We'll talk next Friday.
Watch the snow.
Yeah. Watch it. Be careful out there. Get your bread. All right, take care, Buffa.
See ya.
Cusimano coming up. Jane is hanging with me here a little bit. You're going to stay until 6 o'clock. We visit every Monday and Friday afternoon with Frank Cusimano from KSDK. And remember that bet I was going to make on Alabama on Monday that I told you I decided against? Thank God, Frank, I decided against that because I would not have cashed. How are you this afternoon?
Very good. Yeah, it's kind of the last moment. I was leaning towards Georgia, and it kind of worked out well.
Well, that was a good game. You know, Jane's got a daughter that goes to Alabama, so she's all roll tied now. But I thought it was a pretty good game.
No, it was a great game. But, you know, when Jameson came out, that was it. That was over. You knew.
I agree. And, you know, I think the game, although it was technically won on Monday night, but it's basically been won on National Signing Day for the last 5 years. Georgia has been in the top five for five straight years, in the top, you know, two or three for three of those years. You win on National Recruiting Day, you keep stacking classes, and you're going to win a national championship.
I want to talk about some Blues hockey, a little college basketball on the NFL weekend, but you have some great stuff coming up on the weekend on Sunday night. And I know that you sat down, I saw some of your tweets, but did you sit down with Gary Pinkel? Because I'm a huge fan of Coach Pinkel. He's now going to be a Hall of Famer, right?
Yes, got into the College Football Hall of Fame because he's done something really rare. I mean, he's one of the few people in the history of college football to be the all-time leader in wins at two different schools. And, you know, Mark, you remember when he inherited that program at Mizzou, it was an absolute mess. I think the three coaches before him went like 60-90, and then he wins 117. And has been in the top 25 quite a few times. So he talked about life and what it was like turning that program around and the whole sensation of hearing the news that he's a College Football Hall of Famer. The other quick thing we got on Sunday, if you allow me, there's a young basketball player at Washington University. He has stage 4 stomach cancer. Now, we hear often about kids that come back from cancer and play eventually. Well, he's playing with cancer. He has treatment on a Tuesday and then scores 15 points on a Wednesday. It's just an amazing story. His name is Justin Hardy, and we're real excited about telling that Sunday night.
That is an amazing story.
God bless him.
That's awesome. By the way, just going back to Pinkel just briefly, because in fairness, because the two out of the three previous coaches were not very good, and I loved Bob Stull as a human being, and he's still in Columbia because he moved back there. But Larry Smith kind of primed it a little bit for Gary Pinkel. But, man, just Pinkel's record and what he achieved there, amazing. And, you know, do we still have – are we still considered – this is a question I might have to ask on a regular basis. Is the Mizzou basketball program still considered Division I, or is that Division III or NAIA now?
God,
maybe NAIA?
That is so cold-blooded.
That was savage. Savage.
That was brutal.
He's
but
turned.
In Mark's defense, they've had four defeats by, like, I guess it's 23 points or more, including the beatdown the other night of 44. Texas A&M comes to Columbia on Saturday. Buzz Williams is a great coach. But the last time Mizzou played a home game on a Saturday in the conference, they had the game of the year against Alabama. So we'll see.
Well, oh, Lord. Okay. I mean, this is what happens when you're a Mizzou fan. You get that bright, shiny moment. You think it's going to carry you through, but it doesn't.
Yeah, Jane, listen to these stats from the other night from the NAIA team. We lost by 44. We only scored 43. If Arkansas would not have even scored in the second half, we still would have lost by 6. We've lost to our border rivals, Kansas, Illinois, and Arkansas, by a combined 106 points. This is our 620-plus loss of the season, and we've only played 15 games. I mean, this is a great season for Consol. I'm telling you, he's rocking it out. Deserves all that contract money. I'm done, Frank. I'll end it right here. Let's talk about something more positive. The Blues are on fire right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're 12-0-1 in their last 13 at Enterprise. They got a little more bad news today is that Pavel Buchnevich went on the COVID list. Yeah. I think there's only like 5 players that haven't gone on the list, but it's a testament to Doug Armstrong. He's the hero in all this, because he's built such great depth in the organization, they can dip down to the AHL and not miss a beat. And last night, I mean, think about this. It wasn't Jordan Binnington. It was Ville Husso making 31 saves. I don't know if there's a better backup goaltender at all of hockey.
Yeah.
And then they get the good news yesterday, too, that Jordan Kyrou is an all-star. I don't remember, you know, I guess you have to go back to maybe Vladimir Tarasenko to find the last 23-year-old who's this electric. I mean, this good, this young.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what? I just don't know. What is his contract situation status-wise with the Blues? How long is that locked in?
So he has 1 year left at 2.6. And Doug Armstrong knows he's going to have to pay him big money after next season. But he says, look, I want to be in a position that I want to pay Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou a lot of money, because that means that they've gone to the next stage of their career. And they both are. It's awesome to see these guys.
So I don't know how this works necessarily, well, maybe in all of sports, but if you got a guy like that's that good, and I know this happens in baseball sometime, and his contract goes through next year, do you try to do an extension now and pay him early, or do you have to wait until a year from now? Because you know you're going to make a run, so do you extend? Is that how it works in hockey or not?
You know, the fact that they extended them this year at like $2.6 million for 2 years.
Okay, I got
you. So they don't have to worry about that, but eventually he's going to get paid. And believe me, he's not going anywhere. He could be a Blue for a long, long time.
That's awesome.
I hope he is.
Hey, is there anything at all, because it's pretty quiet right now on the baseball front, anything?
No, the only thing we got out of yesterday, and it wasn't shocking, is that the owners kind of gave a proposal and the players were kind of not impressed. And I expect to hear that story like for the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah,
that seems to be, well, it's just frustrating, right? We should be talking about, this would be the weekend of the winter warm-up. This would be winter
That's
warm-up
right,
weekend.
Yeah. Right.
And it's kind of sad because, you know, who gets robbed out of that are the kids and the families.
Yeah, but they probably would have canceled it because of COVID anyway.
I don't know if they would have this year. Would have been everybody, maybe. Maybe they would have,
but
because
people
you see
do
more
need
more.
To, I think people really want to believe that this latest, you know, surge is going to be over, and then when it's over, we're going to be getting ready for baseball, and people are going to be shocked, I think, if this doesn't, you know, get it
I don't know
soon.
Anybody in the industry that thinks that spring training is going to start on time, February 14th.
Yeah,
so
it's not.
Let's do some NFL picks here, just quickly. Raiders and Bengals. 5.5.
Oh, I love Joe Burrow at home.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, if the Bengals don't win that game, then Joe Burrow is going to be, I think, one of the biggest stars in the NFL in years to come. And the Bengals look really good closing out the season. The Raiders have had a pretty good run just sneaking in, but I'm going to go Bengals there. I'll even go Bengals to cover, I think. The night game tomorrow, the Patriots and the Bills, this should be a good one. I'd never count out Bill Belichick.
Uh-uh. And the Bills, and I wouldn't cut out the Bills either.
But the Bills not playing as well as they certainly were at the beginning
of the
season.
But they tend to step up for the Patriots.
Yeah, I think this will come down to quarterback play. I like Josh Allen at home.
Steelers and Chiefs. 14.5
This is the one
is where
game
I saw the line on this.
Yeah, this is not really debatable. I mean, I've seen Pittsburgh play a lot recently. I just can't picture them scoring many points, and I can't picture them stopping Patrick Mahomes.
I can't either, and now I'm seeing 12.5. Boy, 14.5, that's a generous line, but I think the Chiefs get it done. Although, I think it's going to be closer than
I was going to say, do they cover? I don't know.
How about the Eagles and the Buccaneers? I think you might not want to sleep on the Eagles, even though they're the 7th seed. That might be one of the surprises.
I go with Brady.
I'll go Brady, too.
I'm going to pick that as one of my upsets. How does that sound?
There you go.
I'm going to pick two upsets. 49ers and Cowboys. 49ers are the wild card hot team right now. I think the Cowboys have been overrated all year. I'm going Niners in that one on Sunday afternoon.
I'm with you. I think it's the game of the weekend. I like Jimmy Garoppolo in big game situations. He's 13. He's 30-13 as a starter. He gets better as the game goes along. And they got two weapons in George Kittle and Samuel. I think they're going to win the game.
Cardinals-Rams, a Monday night NFL playoff game. I love that. And we don't like the Rams, so we have to go for the Cardinals, right?
Yeah, I mean, Matthew Stafford has yet to win a playoff game, and I'll continue to pick against him until he does.
Yeah, something
Amen,
tells
brother.
Me they're going to win that game, though, Monday night. Frank, we will talk right before that game.
Happy
Monday.
Weekend.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm off on Monday, so I don't know if you have the holiday. We'll talk next Friday.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, take care. I'm not used to having MLK Day off, Jane, so I get it off for the first time, like maybe ever. We still have a lot more to come, including this photojournalist from L.A.
Good.
Who tracked down some train robberies and had some amazing
That's
video
cool.
that went viral. Yeah, train robberies are still a thing. There's your headline.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.